Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
We have to at least briefly mention the fact that, like, this play has put 10 years on JT.
Right. JT is, like, whipping up concoctions with eggs and shit that he shouldn't have in school. And it's like, you're going to drink all this shit. And if you don't do that, I'm literally going to prop your dead body up.
This is giving me angina.
I'm going to prop your dead body up on this fucking stage. And you would do the show. You're going to do the show in this life, the afterlife. I don't care.
Hello, and welcome to the 11th episode of season 4 of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Caroline.
I am Avis.
And today we're discussing Degrassi season 4, episodes 14 and 15, Secret, parts 1 and 2. Roses are red. Stop infantilizing Craig and Jimmy, please. Jay gave Emma a social disease. Due to skipping Sauvé's group therapy day to run off to Wasega, Emma has not learned how to cope with the Rick incident, and she's starting to crack. Rather than asking for help or taking the lifeline that Manny keeps trying to throw her, she finds comfort in the arms of Jay in a nasty old hookup van in the ravine. Over in the B-plots, Craig and Jimmy are both annoyed at their loved ones treating them with kid gloves.
Yeah.
I like the theme of both B-plots is very much like the same. Like, yeah. It's different, but
it's similar.
And it's, I really feel for Ashley in the first B-plot. Like, I feel for Craig too.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
Ashley's doing her best to try to be a supportive.
She really is.
Partner,
she's trying
even
to.
Even though, like, Craig just really did do a big Craig.
Mm-hmm. Like,
at her dad's wedding. Like,
at
she's.
At her dad's wedding.
At her dad's gay wedding. It was supposed to be a harmonious event, okay?
Right.
She's very much being super supportive and, like, not blaming
and
him for anything.
But I get how it's overbearing. And
yeah.
I also, like, it made me think a lot about me and Forrest.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I know that Ashley and Craig have been on and off again several times, but they've, like, kind of just gotten back together.
Mm-hmm.
And now Craig has this life-changing diagnosis. And it's a completely different thing, but, like, Forrest and I were together maybe 3 months before we, like, found out he had epilepsy. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, no, the way that, like, it was obviously it was a very different thing, but it was like I used to drive him crazy because, like, if I had to work on a night that he wasn't working, I would, like, arrange for friends to stop by our apartment.
Oh. I can or see like that.
If I didn't hear from him for a couple of hours,
yeah,
have a friend go to our apartment, because I'm like, I don't know what's going on,
right?
You know, and it was really scary, and it was a lot, and I totally get why it drove him insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I also totally, you know, because it's not just like, oh, now somebody's invading my personal space all the time. But it was also like, now here's this reminder of the fact that, like, I'm suddenly not capable.
Right.
And so I get it. And I felt for Ashley in a way that I did not feel for Jimmy's asshole ass dad.
Yeah, no, the sympathy is not there on the other side of the B plot in this two-parter. I definitely feel like Ashley is coming from a place of like, I just want you to have an outlet, you know? I just want you to have somewhere to go that doesn't have to be me, you know? It doesn't have to be.
Well, and she's also coming from a place of being freaked out. That's scary.
And I mean, it is, I think that Craig to like minimize her like reaction to things, it feels very similar to how he reacted when he cheated on her, and it'd be like, right. I've gotten over this, okay, bitch? So you get over it too.
So like, why didn't you decorate my locker for my birthday?
Like, I don't, it's like, I have sympathy for Craig, because as someone who does have, you know, mental health struggles, it's like, it feels very selfish sometimes, mm-hmm. to be like, you know, having to give everything to a struggle you're having, but also thinking about your support system and the person that loves you and has to watch this, how do you expect them to not have residual feelings and to not be either scared or worried or like apprehensive about situations, right, that feel familiar or even like could lead to familiar situations? It's like Ashley is just trying to prevent that. And it's like at a high school level, I completely commend her at her capacity to deal with this, because mm-hmm. I would just have not been it.
Right.
Like, I would have just been, I'm tapped out. Sorry, Craig. This is like,
this is a lot.
This is a lot.
You're real cute. You can write a fucking song, but
This is over.
Come to me when you've like been on the same med regimen for a couple of years and you've got your shit figured out and you've had your coke phase.
Yes. High school Avis and Caroline would have like hit the eject button on this fucking
relationship. No, I don't think I would have.
High school Avis. I could say for sure high school Avis was overwhelmed at being like a person. I couldn't deal with like someone else's bullshit on top of my, like, I would have been like, fair. No. I would have been at the worst for Craig.
Oh, see, I am always going to love other people's drama. Not that being bipolar is drama, but like, you know what I mean? Is like, yes, give me your chaos, please. Let me not pay attention to my chaos and I can focus on yours. And like,
yeah,
you know, a thing that like, I don't really talk about a lot because I feel like a dick saying it, because it's not me going through shit. But like, having a partner with a chronic condition
mm-hmm.
is hard.
Yeah.
You know, not only is it scary, but it's, you know, there's just like minor frustrations of it. Like early on in our relationship when we were still navigating things, like we would get in fights and it would trigger a seizure.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm glad that that's not what happens to me when I get worked up, but at the same time it would get really frustrating because it was like we would hit a point where we couldn't reach any further resolution,
right?
Because he either had a seizure or was gonna have a seizure if I didn't just like acquiesce and walk away from it,
right?
And like, yeah, I'd rather not be heard than have a fucking seizure. But also it's really frustrating when you're, you know, because our relationship was so new. We were still learning how to communicate with each other. We were still, you know, learning who each other were.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it made our relationship unhealthy for longer than it would have been.
Yeah.
If we didn't have that thing that stopped it.
Right.
But you feel like an asshole being like, my fucking partner's having a fucking seizure again.
I mean, it's definitely like, I feel like to have that be the conditions under which you're always working is, yeah, extremely stressful. It's like you know that this is always a probability of occurring if you get mm-hmm. past a certain point. And it's not that, like, you don't have the right to feel, you know, like, damn, you know, like, we can't get past a certain wall or whatever. You know, things stack up when you can't get past a certain point in conversation. And trust me, like, neither, like, my mental health issues do not get to a point where, like, we can't get past a certain point, but it definitely does. Like, I could just say a normal conversation or normal altercation when I'm like, oh, like, this is so frustrating. Like, we can't get past this. Like we're both trying to, like,
right. We've reached that point where we can't hear each other, and that's right. hard enough.
Exactly.
You know, and it's still can present problems now, because he's kind of always in a low level state of fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes a simple, like, hey, this is upsetting me, gets taken the wrong way. And he's, like, just so much faster to get, like, worked up and to that point of, like, can't hear a thing I'm saying. And, yeah. you know, and it's not the norm anymore, but it definitely, like, happens, and it's frustrating. And mm-hmm. and then sometimes there's seizures to boot.
Right.
And I know that that's very, very different from bipolar.
But it's, I mean, in a way you could parallel it, because you have points where Craig just, like,
is manic and unreachable.
Unreachable. And yeah.
And
yeah.
volatile. And, like, and he's never put certainly. His hands on Ashley like that, but he did beat the shit out of Joey 2 weeks ago.
Beat the shit out of Joey in front of his little sister. Which, if you think about, for Angie, seeing that and then knowing about how Craig used to get beat up.
Right.
Like, I
want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Know that would, like, just seeing your, you know, seeing your dad get hurt by your brothers already, like, that's fucked up. But then having that added layer of her knowing that he was physically abused,
right?
And then, like, seeing him repeat it, like, she's probably really scared of him now.
Yeah, no, it's a lot.
Yeah, and it's like nothing that it's Craig's disease, but at the end of the day, those things are always going to be like how, you know, we have, bless her heart, Ellie coming in and actually doing some work in this that makes me feel like, okay, I'm glad they referenced her own personal struggles, because they do, it helps Craig deal with his, but her saying, you know, I'm always going to be a cutter.
Right.
Even if I never cut again. And it's like in a similar way of like, these are things that he did while like in a manic state of his disease. And those are going to be things he's going to have to deal with for the rest of his life. That's just a manifestation of his disease. Like,
right.
And he's going to have to deal with that, even if he never has a manic episode at that level again.
Well, and it's hard, too, with, like, a lot of mental illnesses. The nature of a mental illness is going to make it so that, like, you might stop taking your meds because your brain tells you you're right. Okay.
You're okay. You feel better. Yeah, you don't.
You know, you don't notice when you're getting manic until you're too far in.
Yeah, that's what Craig, I mean, he says that in Voices Carry that, like, was it not Voices Carry?
Mm-hmm.
Voices Carry that he feels normal So even though everybody's telling him all these things that he has and that's wrong with him, he still feels okay. Right. And I think I was on a Reddit thread once. I think it was a BPD thread. And it was like, is this just like, do people with BPD not know they have BPD? And like most of the comments were like, you kind of don't know. You kind of don't realize that this is right. like not normal or not like what everybody else feels. Right, because it is your
normal.
It is your normal, right. And like, so you don't have any contact. You don't have anything to compare it to.
Well,
so
and it's
of course
like,
that's normal for you.
Not that it's the same thing at all. I don't want it to like, but like, okay, like I remember when I was younger, if I would get in a fight with a friend or God forbid my mother, like, have you ever had that where like you hit that point where you know that you're wrong, yeah. but you've only just realized it and you're in too deep now?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
And I think that that's like, you know, I don't have bipolar. But, you know, my understanding is that, like, yeah, you don't really realize.
Yeah. And I think that that's, like, why I did talk about it a little bit about how Craig had to, like, blink out of that state to, like, recognize Ashley. And I think it's just, like, it's, like, coming out of a tunnel for him, it seems like. Like, he's coming out of the woods or something. And I think for that, it in itself is very scary to see. Up close and be like, okay, he's back now, you know?
Right.
And then he's docile, you know, he's very much like not like realizing kind of what he did.
Right. And he's still frantic. He's like, Ashley, you're here.
Yes. Right.
You came back. Like,
right.
No, it's scary. It's scary.
Yeah, I just feel like Ellie does a really good job at being Craig's friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that. And, you know, like similar to how you were saying, oh, I'd arrange for like people to drop by and see how Fo was. It's like Ashley does the same thing. She has Ellie come by and says she needs her guitar restrung. Right. And it's like, yeah, this is a very weak ass excuse. I'm clearly just here to check on you. Like well, set by Ashley.
Ashley's heart is 100% in the right place. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, she's not coming from a place of like, I'm embarrassed by your behavior. She's not like, she is concerned. She loves Craig. He is not okay. She doesn't know how to fix it.
Right.
Sending him to Ellie's group without telling him that it was Ellie's group.
Yeah, that
was not okay.
No, that wasn't okay at all.
And like, not like I hate Ashley levels of not okay. It was an innocent mistake.
It was
short sighted. But like, she should have thought better.
It was short-sighted. She should know how embarrassed Craig can be about this stuff. And,
but I think part of it probably is that, like, she doesn't find it embarrassing.
Right.
She doesn't think it should be embarrassing. Like, it makes me think of my dad, who does not understand eating disorders. Like, he just cannot conceptualize them. Mm-hmm. And so, like, at one point, a friend of mine who had I wouldn't necessarily go so far as to say eating disorders, but had some disordered eating issues, was living with us. And my dad would do all of these things that like weren't helping, you know, like he'd be like, oh, don't you want another piece of chicken? And like things like that, because and we would all try and explain to him like this person has issues with food and you are exacerbating them. And my dad's just like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Why don't they just eat more? Why would you starve yourself? I don't understand it. And and like, oh, my dad.
Yeah. Odd to have that, but a lovely, a simple brain in that sense, because it's,
yeah.
I mean,
and it's not fine. That my dad's, I mean, a simple man, but
no, I mean, some things you're just like, you can't conceptualize. Some things
right.
are just like not. For you to conceptualize, I say.
And I think Ashley
like it's,
probably
it's beyond
can't,
me.
I think Ashley can't conceptualize Craig being embarrassed by it.
Right.
You know, and I think probably part of that is just that, like, girls are socialized in a way where, like, we're allowed to have emotions and mood swings and what have you, and boys aren't.
Right.
And I think that's part of it, but I think it's also just, like, who Ashley is.
Yeah.
She's like, if I was bipolar, I'd write a song and sing it in front of the whole fucking school.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like her. Like, I agree that she does not have, like, the embarrassment, or doesn't really understand why Craig is embarrassed, and it doesn't embarrass her. Right. And, like, I think part of it is she just wants him to, like, not embrace it, just like see that this is a part of who he is and work through it and not try to, like, you know, make it like this isn't. I think just accepting that it's a part of him and that that's okay. And I mean, it was very short-sighted to have Ellie's group be the first group he went to, but I also think it does.
But it's the group she knew about.
It's the group she knew about. And it's also, I mean, it might not have been her motivation, but possibly she could have been like, it might be nice to have like a friendly face, you know? Like, Ellie's not the type to go, you know, telling what happened in a group, especially a group that she's in, you know?
Right. Like, a group that she's been in for a long time that's helped her greatly, where it's like.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's. Yeah, I'm proud of both of them in this episode. Mm-hmm. And I am proud of Craig too. I feel like he came around.
Yeah.
And he is realizing that this isn't to attack him.
Right. The reality is you have this condition and you can't just pretend you don't.
Right.
And it doesn't do either of us any good for me to pretend that you don't.
Yeah. It's just not. It's just what it is right now for you. And it doesn't have to be something that.
And you don't have to shout it from the rooftops or announce it to the whole cafeteria like it's Manny's pregnancy or anything.
Right.
But like, you do have to talk to people.
You have
about
to talk to people and deal with it, because to be in denial about it is going to get you right back.
And like,
to this
therapy
place,
is great and therapy is crucial, but so is a support system outside of therapy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
And he's got, and I mean, he's got a great support system, and I think people who, because some people can't get over things, you know, some people are like, they're always going to think of that thing that you did that hurt them. But Joey is not that kind of person.
No.
Joey just wants to get him help.
Right.
You know, Ashley's not that kind of person. She just wants to get him help. Who fucking cares what Caitlin thinks? But I'm assuming that she's possibly that person who just wants to get him help. And yeah.
She's annoyed. She's like, I'm just trying to paint my new house.
She's like, he didn't lift a finger to help with this shit, but
I have to pay for the Chinese. What the fuck is this?
She's at the end of her rope. But yeah, no.
Right, because Caitlin was never made for this role. You know who would be handling this well? Surprisingly well, Sydney.
Sydney would be
like, we've been led. They really tried to, like, even with everything they showed us of Sydney,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't really bitchy, they wanted us to think she was a bitch.
They will never make me hate you, Sydney.
They made me hate you when I was 14, Sydney, but I'm sorry, I was dumb then.
Did I hate her when I was 14?
You probably did.
Yeah, I probably
did.
They worked OT to make me hate you forever. Sydney, but
no.
I can't hate you
no
forever.
And I think that Sydney would be like surprisingly supportive and good, and Joey would have the money for like good therapy.
that cushy couch vibes. Yeah, no. And I mean, I guess, do I have anything else in this B plot? Because I'm like, that would be a good segue to talk about the other guy in the other B plot who has a bunch of money and doesn't know how to fucking
use
it, I guess.
Jimmy's dad
is the word.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Like, my notes are Jimmy's dad sucks with multiple of every letter in the word sucks. And then he's paraplegic, not mentally or physically incapable of caring for himself. Like, Christ, bro, get him a life alert if you're that worried.
Literally. That is, like, it is so clear that he is afraid to have Jimmy back in the house.
Well, and it's like, I feel like Mr. Brooks is burdened by this.
Yeah.
And embarrassed by it.
Mm-hmm.
Your son went from star basketball player
with all to paraplegic. The prospects in the world to paraplegic. Yeah. So you told, and now it's like, what about my life? Am I going to still get to do the things I want to do? Like, basically he wants to be like, okay, I just want to be able to not worry about you, Jim. Like, I want to be able to have you, you know that you're going to be in the house and not lose any of the progress you made, because goodness forbid you lose progress. Right. And then you got to be cared for more than whatever, you know, I have to lift a finger to help out. Like, that would really suck.
Right. And I love that, like, the compromise is round the clock care. He doesn't need round the clock care.
No, from what we've seen in the fucking hospital, he's able to, like, he's doing fucking trying to bench press in the bed.
Like he needs someone to help him with bathing, at least as far as, like, getting him in and out.
Getting him in and out of the chair, which is typically a thing that is, like, and, I would say, aside from that, and even not even in that, like, because some people in wheelchairs can do that themselves. They don't even need, maybe they need slight assistance, but they don't need you to physically lift them in and out of the chair.
Right, with the right setup, like, Jimmy's got upper body strength.
Jimmy's got, like
and he's skipping leg day forever now, so,
he is totally skipping leg day forever. I'm done with you. That upper body shit is on lock. He does not have to have, like, a significant drop of in his quality of life. And his father is making it seem like, you know, like you said, there was some mental impacts, like, as a result. Like, no, like, he's completely fine. Like, he can get himself around. Like, he can steer his, you know.
All he would need is, like, at most, I feel like, really, have somebody pop in for an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon.
Right.
You know, and they can help with things like bathing if that's something that he needs that you don't want to deal with.
Yeah, maybe if they didn't lower, like, counters.
Right, they can make sure he's got, like, meals and shit.
Right, like, that, maybe that sort of thing.
But he doesn't need round-the-clock care. And again, if you're that worried about him falling out of his chair, get him a fucking life alert.
I've fallen and I can't get up. Yeah, it's a very, like, thin veiled excuse to just, like, basically say, I don't really want you back into the house unless I'm 100% certain that, like,
it's not going to be a burden on me, because it's already an embarrassment.
Yeah.
I hate Jimmy's dad.
Yeah, he doesn't get better. Like, there's not many arcs with this, and especially this actor does a really good job at making me fucking hate him, so.
Yeah, because he's great at being the fucking worst. He's so bad, I don't even think he's hot.
Oh my gosh. No, he's not hot. He's not, he does not have a hot daddy factor here.
Well, plus I think Jimmy Brooks is a better person than Drake, but I also think, like, there are some parallels there. And so I'm just like, I know what you raised, sir.
I see what you raised.
What you put out into this world. Leave Millie Bobby Brown alone.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I hate Jimmy's dad. But non-inconsequential thing that I want to talk about is the ridiculous break Jimmy out plan. All of it is hilarious. All of it is ridiculous. But can we talk about how Craig looks like he is three children in a trench coat?
In a trench coat, yeah. I feel like...
And I love that they're going to Kid Elric.
Kid Elric, yeah.
Finally.
The chaos of fucking Jimmy, not Jimmy, Craig and Marco on the fly. Yeah,
no, I in but, particular, like, also, Marco and Jimmy's friendship I love.
Yes. But how are they going to get, how are they going to disguise his fucking chair? What were they going to do to disguise that he was on wheels?
They didn't need to disguise that he was on wheels.
Well, they just said they made it. Well, for initially, that was the plan to get a disguise. But then they went to plan B to create a diversion.
But they did get a disguise because Craig got a disguise.
But he was like, how is it going to like hide the fact that I'm in 200 whatever pounds of metal?
Right.
And it's like, that would be very difficult, my guy. That is very, you're asking for too much. They don't have these resources. Like, you're asking for a lot. But yeah. And they came straight from school. How are these two guys going to carry anything like related to camouflaging you straight from school? But yeah, no.
The bar, like the concert scene's interesting to me. Like, first of all, why is this dude being an asshole to you when he bumped into you? Like, I get Jimmy saying sorry, but like the guy is like so pissed about it.
He is. It's like, I think it's because we have to be thrown off by the vibes of this concert. We've got to think it's shady.
Second of all, I'm so confused by like the demographic at this concert, because I've always assumed that Kid Elric was Canadian Degrassi Kid Rock. And I feel like the little bit of his performance that we saw confirmed that. Punk rock guys do not go to Kid Elric concerts.
Yeah.
But I feel like we saw several like punk dudes.
Yeah, there are definitely punk dudes there. I feel like for me, like what he actually, like what a Kid Elric album would actually have on it is like so varied from what the universe would like us to think. Like, he does everything. Apparently he's also a rapper. Like, I don't know. None of it's good. Like, it's, I don't mind what I heard. It was a not, but like how he was dancing, how he was bopping his head to it and everything. I'm like, there was, I feel like there was a different artist performing. Like,
yeah, no, it was giving Kid Rock, it was giving James Franco's character in Spring Breakers.
Oh no. Yeah.
Atlian or whatever.
Oh gosh, that was really bad movie. That movie was so rough.
That movie is so rough.
I thought it was a good movie for a long time, but that scene where they sing, where they massacre every time by Britney Spears, literally carrying machine guns, wearing fucking skull masks. I'm just like,
it's hilarious the first time you see it.
The first time you see it, you're like, what the fuck is this? And then it's like, no, seriously, what the fuck is this? Explain. No explanation given. Beautiful song, though.
Beautiful
what
song.
The fuck?
Yeah, I want to know what drugs went into making that film so I can avoid them.
Ashley Benson and Vanessa Hudgens were just like, we clearly have an image to destroy.
To destroy.
To stomp into the
fucking
ground.
Isn't Selena Gomez in it too?
Selena Gomez is also in there, and I think she was the one who was like, really, like, yeah, I can't, and it has still had the fucking same haircut that she had in Wizards of Waverly Place in this fucking movie. Like, the heavy bang. And
fucking
like,
movie.
Like, boo, you look like you just came off of the set. You look like you took a little golf cart from the set of Wizards of Waverly Place down to where they were doing this fucking fiasco. Like, it, yeah. Don't. Yeah, that fucking guy. I'm just, it's not like the I couldn't even describe what privilege Jimmy was benefiting off of in this instance, but like, because can you call it like disabled privilege? Because is there a thing as disabled privilege?
No.
I don't think so. No, I think that's just basic human decency.
Well,
possibly.
And I don't know how realistic that is.
I was thinking it. I was thinking like, I don't know if people would be this nice.
Right.
But like, I hope so.
Like,
well, you're going to hell in a handbasket.
One of my friends was telling me about, like, her husband loves Melissa Etheridge. And so they go to Melissa Etheridge concerts because apparently she married a 90s lesbian. I love that he loves her so much. It's great. And that, like, one time my friend was sick, like, got sick day of, so she couldn't go. And so her husband last minute, like, called a friend of theirs and was like, hey, want to go see Melissa Etheridge? And the friend was like, fuck yeah. And they had, like, shitty seats. The friend is in a wheelchair. They get to the venue. The seats that they have are not accessible. So they end up being, like, front row.
Okay. That's what's up.
But that was the venue.
Right. That was it. And I mean, that was fair.
Everybody in every single row ahead of them being like, yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Just catch. And the venue, can't the venue be fucking, like, fined for not having, like, accessible seating? I know it's, like, a problem in a lot of places, especially
it's a problem in so many places
to not have any accessible way to actually get in the building, but also not have any accessible seating.
Right.
Do better. Your shit boxes, because this highly improbable, you know, maybe for this concert it would work.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
But who's
right,
to
it's
say
like a
the
small
next concert?
Venue.
Yeah, maybe the next concert. Fuck off, Jimmy. You're in the back. You know, right. Like, who knows?
Also, do you really need to see Kid Elric?
No,
doing his bopping.
From like looking up at him too. I hate being in the front.
Yeah,
I need some raised bleachers situation. I'm a shorty. I don't like to. I'm naturally looking up at most people anyway. I don't want to be doing that all concert long. Or all movie theater long. Like,
right.
I hate that in the movie theater, too. I don't like looking up at the movie theater. But
yeah, no, I liked it. It did not seem super probable to me. Like, I would let Jimmy in front of me. But, and I think there are plenty of people who would. But I also think that there are plenty of people who would be like, nah, sucks to suck, dude.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Like, okay, I paid money to be here, too.
Ooh, COVID sucks.
And it's, you know, on one hand, I like that they did that. I mean, and they did show a lot of, like, the fact that, like, the world is not accessible. It really isn't. And it's really easy not to think about
when
it's not something you don't have to think about.
Right. Yeah, no, the only recent-ish thing I ever, like, I've had to deal with is, you know, my girlfriend's gotten various injuries in the field that she used to work in. And so she had to be on crutches for, like, 6 months at a point because of, like, a ligament issue and then more issues on top of that. And you would not believe how many, you know, and I knew that from, like, that limited point of view, but how many places are just terrible with stairs? Like, that's the only way you can get it. It's just a fuck ton of stairs or, like, you know, very limited elevators, things like that, that if any elevators at all. And it's just like, this was only a minor inconvenience, like 6 months of her life or less, right. But we had to deal with it. And I was pissed the whole time because it's like, there were times where we're just like, we're just not going to do this because it's going to be too much. We're not going to, I'm going to either have to, like, physically support her for some point. And I'm not jacked, guys. I can't carry my 5'6" girlfriend, up flights of stairs. I'm just not that jacked. I just don't have. Can I carry her over my arm if needed? Yes, in an emergency. Always be able to carry your partner over your arm with assistance, plus if you need assistance in an emergency. But yeah, no, it was not a good time. And I feel like it was a very, like, maybe one of the times that Degrassi tries to be like, oh, this is like a root, like, the guy just got shot, give him a break. To type of vibe. Like,
right.
This might not be what would happen in reality, but this is
our, I mean, but the rest of it was
the idealized,
like,
version of reality, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked both the B plots.
They were,
but let's be honest.
No, yeah, well, we came.
Everybody
for
is the here event. For the A plot,
the main fucking event. I'm single, but I give blowjobs
in the back of a Walmart parking lot.
I'm sorry, I sound like a ghost right now, guys.
I use my hands from time to time. I'm gonorrhea survivor.
Gonorrhea? Did I just?
Hey, guess what, guys? I have gonorrhea.
Okay, as a theater kid, I'm living for the A plot. I love that this is like tangential, like theater kid, like shenanigans. Like that she's just giving blowjobs in the ravine while she's doing a play. I don't know.
No, Dracula looks awesome. I have some questions though. It's not a musical. I don't know why I keep thinking it's a musical because of the Radish song.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of questions. Like, first of all, why is Darcy playing the lead? I thought Manny was the lead.
I thought Manny was the lead, too, prior to the whole Radish thing. I thought Manny was the lead. Darcy sucks as the lead. I don't know why she went out for this role. She did not strike me as the type.
I don't know why she was given this role.
I don't know why she was given this role. It must have been one hell of an audition. She was riding those grief waves of people. She didn't even know any of these people. I don't know what she was riding. But yeah, not. She does not strike me as the type who like can retain multiple lines.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well, and then like, it's weird to me that Alex and Amy and Jay
are all
involved.
Helping. Yeah, I was thinking that. Specifically, like, all three of them. like, why is Jay on stage crew? Is he getting extracurricular? Is he getting some credit for this, for something?
Right, he's either got to be getting something, or maybe it's just because, like, you know, if that's where Alex is going to be, like, what else is he going to do? The ravine's closed.
His dick sucked in the ravine,
like, the ravine's closed during that time, apparently.
Like, yeah, possibly. I mean, I guess that's what they want.
Nobody's
to say.
There. Everybody's in school or play practice. But I can't see Alex wanting to go out for the show. I could see Alex going out for the show because Amy wanted to, and Amy asked her to, and she loves Amy.
Yeah, it's like I wish I believed that, but it's like all of their presences
are weird.
Are weird. Yeah. I don't believe that any of them would, like, volunteer for this. Because if you've never been in theater before, it's a commitment. Like, I mean,
it's
not like
a whole ass commitment.
But it's like people, and they're usually, this is just Degrassi, though. This is just a TV show where they neglect that any sort of staff has to be involved with these things. Because
right.
There's no way that they're putting an entire production into students' hands. That's just
written and directed by students.
Like, there's no, like, that doesn't happen. That never happens. That never happens. Correct. Like, please write into us on any of our social media or at our email and let us know if in your drama department, they let the students direct.
Just completely with no supervision.
Run the theater program. I would call high bullshit on that. Especially because you have to deal with licensing and, like, you cannot just do whatever show you want to do. You have to pay for the shows that you're doing and getting the licensing rights. And a lot of them are fucking expensive. And that's why a lot of shows that students, that high schools do are old as fuck. Because they cost less.
Right.
Like, you're only going to see the really, like, swanky schools doing anything that's happened in the last 15 years.
Right.
Like, Disney had to specifically make High School Musical cheaper. Like, they had to do something specific so that more high schools could actually do High School Musical because they weren't performing High School Musicals because they couldn't afford it.
Right.
So this, and I mean, the fact that she adapted up the maybe it was probably a fair use thing. It was already in the comic
book,
or whatever.
Yeah, I think that it was probably free on that end.
Right. Like, she, like, adapting Dracula, that's probably not as much of a, like, that they probably would let her do that, but I doubt that they would let JT direct and play the star. Like, no, they're not doing that. That's not
without, like,
heavy,
not without an adult
oversight.
Also
yeah.
There,
right? Like, they would need a staff advisor, and there's just no indication that there's any kind of staff advisement. Mm-hmm. At all. They're just like, okay, your project is greenlit. Go put on a show that we're going to have teachers and parents and the community come see without any oversight.
Right.
No, that's not how shit works. I guess that's how shit works with Degrassi. I don't know.
Welcome to Degrassi.
Welcome to Degrassi. But yeah, Darcy's terrible. This is a little nitpicky thing that I saw at the top, and I don't know where else it's going to go if I don't say it now. But like in the very beginning of this, of the scene where Emma is like listening for her cue, the wide shot where Danny is talking, it shows her already out on stage. But then when it flicks back, she's in the doorway waiting to go on stage. And Jay's got to like do whatever he's doing under her dress. I don't know. It's weird. That whole scene is really creepy to me. But I'm like, continuity is not continuing.
It's weird too, the way that like, I don't know. I guess it's not that weird that like Jay is suddenly like low-key obsessed with Emma. And I'm sure it's like a destroying the innocence sort of thing in his own fucking trauma response.
Virtue or whatever.
But like, it's just, it feels like it comes out of left field. It does. I felt bad for him when he like couldn't just say that he missed Sean.
Right. Like, hey, don't get all emotional on me, Greenpeace or whatever.
My toxic trait 100% is that like, I will look at Jay Hogarth and I will never see the man standing before me. I will see all of his potential.
Oh no, that is definitely bad. That's bad, boo. Yeah, you need to work on that.
It's got to be Mike LaBelle. The charisma. I think Mike LaBelle is so charming and charismatic.
Yeah,
that it's just
he low key is. I'm excited.
That I'm like, oh yeah, let's spread social diseases around the school. Cool. Yeah.
Is this really something this man has? I'm excited to gauge, but it's not like okay. It's certainly random. And I just don't understand Emma's whole like it's like her bad girl awakening supposed to be, but it's like, is it just that he's like making her realize that she can feel alive again or whatever. Like, what is the purpose of her being like so and breathy around him that she's literally willing to run herself in the ground so that she can get a little taste of what does he have?
No, I get all of that. I think one, he's a connection to Sean. I think two, I think a lot of it is definitely the trauma, but I think three, it's like, I don't know. Do you like remember the first time you were like seriously fucking around? Like it's exciting and it's scary and titillating and exhilarating. Like I get it.
Yeah. I think I have such a hard time with this episode because Emma is like, it's like she's throwing all of the really weird, weird traits at the wall to see which one is going to stick. Like she's being devious and she's being kind of like a temptress or whatever. And she's not sure like whether she's coming and going, like she's giving so much and it's like none of it is like her.
Well, I mean, okay. Emma's just been faced with her own mortality in a very real way, in a way that most people don't experience that young. And it was terrifying, and she made it through. And there's like, I think I understand like the response to that being risk-seeking behavior.
Yeah.
And I understand. Well, okay. And one of the things that I actually wondered about too is not that long ago, Rick is going to kill her because he thinks she led him on. She's flirted with Jay a little bit at this point. Do we think that maybe she can't, like, she feels like I've gone this far. I can't stop now because I've
led him on.
I've led him on.
Yeah, that's definitely that. I
think that's a factor to it too. as I think someone, that's a huge factor too.
Yeah, I have certainly had that happen. And I mean, and let's not also kind of bury the fact that she is, you know, she's had sexual trauma.
She also doesn't have friends right now.
No, she doesn't have friends. It's like she's seeking acceptance, but she's also like seeking that, like, I guess we could say adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to feel good, I guess. Like, she's trying to feel good in the midst of all of this.
Right.
I certainly have had times in my life when I was, you know, younger, of course, where I felt like after a certain point, you can't really say no.
Right.
And that is very dangerous, very harmful. Not fucking true. You can say no whenever you want. You
always say
no. You can say no whenever you want. Like,
no,
I
remember, whenever, like, you want. Like, it was probably the moment that my prefrontal cortex finished, like, developing.
Yeah.
Was I had met this guy on, like, some dating site, and he wanted to take me out to dinner. And I was like, sure. And we went out to dinner, and, like, I didn't really like him. But then also he was like, you know, he smoked me out. And we're like at this, like, I don't know, we're at some park or something. And he starts trying to make moves on me. And I'm like,
yeah.
And it's funny because I was like, that was my hoe phase. But yeah. I'm very much, I'm like, I don't really, like, I don't do that. Like, yeah. I don't hook up with guys I don't know, which was a total lie. But he's like, yeah, but I mean, everything about this night was new. You know, we met online and blah, blah, blah. And like trying really hard. Mm-hmm. And I was just like lying in the sand. I don't want to hook up with you.
Yeah.
Whereas the Caroline that I'd known for the last several years would have.
Right.
Because he took me out to dinner and he got right. me high.
And he got you high, yeah.
And
he wasn't being like, you know, he was being, for the most part, playful, charming, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say charming, but like he was trying to pressure me, but like not in a way of like I felt like I couldn't say no.
Yeah.
And just that like revelation of like, I don't have to sleep with you. I don't right. have to fool around with you. Like, I would like you to take me home now.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I didn't have somebody almost kill me because I led them on or because they thought I led them on.
Right.
And so I think even without that trauma, it's very easy to like get it ingrained in you that like once you've gone to a certain point or once a guy's done X, Y, Z for you, you have to sleep with him.
Yeah.
And no, it yeah. all like as frustrating as it is and to like watch it from the outside, be like, girl, what are you doing? I understand it. Emma's had a hard yeah. fucking year. She
I
has
very much
like,
yeah.
She has no friends.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it too. Is like Manny's kind of trying to bridge that gap.
But she doesn't want, the thing too is I think that like as much as she wants to feel, you know, normal, there is no going back for her. And
right.
she doesn't like, she's been very affected to the point that like, she doesn't feel like there's anything that in her former personality she can really return to.
Right.
Including her friends. Like, I know we talked about it. I forget how we talked about it, but just, in the previous episode that we discussed, we were just saying, like, she's being really mean to Manny. And, like, we find out why in this episode, because it's like, Manny keeps wanting her to do normal things.
Right.
She keeps wanting
her
to, and she can't be normal. She's not going over to your house and doing mani-pedis. Like, she feels like she has been ripped apart. Like, she doesn't
right.
know what normal is anymore.
Well,
and
I don't think anyone around her really grasps. Like, I made
no.
note of it when Snake says the thing about, like, most of the kids have moved on, but most of the kids
right.
didn't
well,
watch,
didn't
someone,
watch
die.
Someone die.
And, like,
yeah,
she did watch someone die. And that, in and of itself,
it's
hard
right,
trauma.
That, however, she
but
also...
she didn't just watch somebody die.
Right,
she
was
almost
held at
died.
Gunpoint. Yeah, and
she
fired,
almost died.
He
pointed
he
that gun
the shot
at her
at
face,
her.
Intending to shoot her.
Yeah, and if there was not a struggle in which Sean
right.
saved her life, she
would be dead.
Would be dead. Yeah, and it's like to think about it like that. They really, and I'm not, and I can blame Snake and Spike for this because you guys cannot expect a play to fix your daughter.
No.
Like, and you cannot expect one day of trauma therapy given by a guidance counselor that to fix your daughter. That she didn't even go to. Which, did they find out that she skipped?
I have no idea.
Who knows? They should be keeping better accountability, of better track right. of these fucking kids. Especially after a fucking shooting. Like, I'm done. But regardless of whether they found out she skipped or not, it would be really bad if they found out she skipped and then still didn't get her extra help. But right. whatever.
I am Emma Nelson. I want for someone to hear the desperate screams.
Right.
I need some serious fucking counseling.
Literally. And it's like, no, it's fine. We're just going to make you gardener's pie and like stare at you with concern and like.
Right.
And just like.
And guys. I get it. Like, nobody's got a handbook for this, but like, that's why you find a therapist.
At the very least.
And you make her go to therapy.
Very
you make bottom. Her go to therapy.
That's like the basement tier of things you do when your child has literally had a gun pointed at them and could be dead if we're not for the interference of another right. peer. That right. is what you do.
And then
do
she watched someone
minimum.
Die in front of her.
Right. That's what you do at bare minimum. You go and take that child to a therapist.
Right.
Because you don't know how to help them.
And you're dealing with your own trauma, even though, like, okay, Snake was in the school, Spike wasn't there. But, like, even though you weren't right there, that's a fucking trauma, too.
No, yeah.
That was, like, my mom. I could not talk to my mom about getting robbed at gunpoint for the longest time because she was, like, I really cannot even think about it.
Yeah.
Which sucked because I needed her, but also I get.
Yeah.
So I get if Spike and Snake can't fucking deal.
And I mean,
y'all should be in family therapy, quite frankly.
Right. Honestly, I think it's funny that Snake, not funny, haha, but I think it's funny that Snake is like, she watched someone die. Because like, low key, you discovered someone dead. Not low key, that actually happened, Snake. You discovered someone who had shot themselves.
Right.
And that fucked you up severely. And I don't even, I mean, I wish that Next Gen had, like, focused a little bit more on that. Because that was something that was heavily traumatic for Snake. And he almost didn't graduate because of the fact that he was out of school for weeks and weeks after that. And didn't want to talk to anybody and was just completely isolated because he found Claude. No one else. Like, Mr. Raditz
came
and,
like... Did you ever see
like,
a dead body and not, like, a, like, at-awake dead body, but, like, a dead body?
No, boo. No. And, like,
that shit's
not
hard.
I don't want to see that shit. That shit is, like, I pray... Every day, I'm like, please don't let me see anything that I can't unsee. Please don't let me see anything I can't unsee. Because I have a mind that will turn it over. And I'll right. never... I'll, like, close my eyes and see it. When something traumatizes me, it's real.
Dude.
I still see that little cat that I told you, that cat that died in front of my mm-hmm. house like a couple months ago. I still see the color of that cat's eyes. And that was a dead cat that probably passed away from like ate something bad, died, didn't get shot or anything. Like,
dude,
what the fuck?
Yeah, no. For 2 years after Eli died, I could not think of him without mm-hmm. the first image being him dead on my fucking floor.
Jesus.
Like, that's a trauma.
It is.
It's and, like and, nobody is getting Emma the help that she needs. And it's really frustrating
like
that, like, we've
trauma.
Got this. She's
yeah.
got to get gonorrhea and then
she's
an eating
get
disorder
gonorrhea and then,
before
and,
anybody's really going
to
fucking, like,
because
everybody's
to her.
Scared of Emma. She's so much bigger than everybody. She just looms over Spike. And Snake is scared of Spike, even though she's so little.
He's
so tall, but he's scared of Spike. And Spike's scared of Emma. So when Spike says... We're just going to let Emma be Emma. He's like, okay,
he's
we're
like,
just going to let... I feel so bad for Snake in all of this because, like, he loves her so much.
He does, and
he
really
loves,
wants to be...
Like, that is like, not his stepdaughter. That is
his
daughter.
Even him, like, when she, you know, comes to him and she's like... Or comes to them and's like, I need help. You know, I need you to take me to the clinic. And he's like, that's only a specific group of kids. I don't think you have to worry. And she's like, I do. Like, the fact that he was still trying to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
no, and I will give props to Snake and Spike for the end of the episode.
The end
they
of
came
the episode,
through
yes.
the way that they were like, because your kid comes to you, your kid who's always been a good kid, regardless of the trauma they've just come through, your kid who's always been a good kid comes to you and is like, I have a social disease because I was sucking dick at the ravine. Like, I'm not really going to blame somebody for reacting to that.
Right.
Like, it would be better if you not. But I understand if you've got to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, like, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. They were just like, okay, Emma, yeah, let's hug you and we'll take you to the clinic tomorrow.
Right.
Can we talk about, I'm so pissed about, why was the public health nurse there instead of Dr. Sally?
Where's Dr. Sally?
Where is Sue Johansson?
Did the contract not get renewed? Did somebody not get paperwork on Sue Johansson's people's desks? Because right. if the ball was fumbled in a clerical manner, you should be ashamed. It could also be that she was not available. Who knows?
She said, fuck Degrassi.
I would like to think that it was a clerical error, that somebody in the Degrassi offices fucked up. Somebody
I'm just saying, like, you had an opportunity for Dr. Sally and she should have been there. She should have fucking been there and
although
do better.
I do love the delivery of the nurse of the like, she's like, if you don't use a condom, one of these, every time, it puts you at risk. Like, she's so matter of fact.
Yeah.
She's like, especially if you've had it with a bunch of people. Or your
Dr. Sally would have been so much better.
She would have brought the charisma to it, not just like the casual like ending of Emma's life. Because you see Emma's like, it's D-Day over there. Emma is like going through this.
Right. And poor JT. Like, JT doesn't know. He makes the joke because it's a joke. Because why would Emma have gonorrhea in her throat?
Exactly. He's like, that's fucking improbable. But like, yeah.
And Manny's like,
Oh shit. Oh, shit.
I love Manny. I love that Manny, like, tries to be a friend to Emma, but then ultimately is like, I'm not going to let you kiss this guy when you have gonorrhea in your throat.
Right. She's like, you cannot kiss Dracula. You can't do that. She's like, I can do whatever I want. I play Mina. That's who right? I play, okay? That's my character.
At least I didn't get pregnant.
At least I didn't get gonorrhea of the throat.
Right?
And start a mini, like, fucking social outbreak of this shit. Because there is no way she did not give Dracula gonorrhea.
Can you get gonorrhea from kissing?
I think so.
Now I gotta Google that shit. Vamp for me for a second here.
Can you get... That's, like, the second... It says it's not clear. It's... Oh, it is possible. Just stop it, y'all. If you have gonorrhea of the throat or any other gonorrhea, please keep your affected appendages to yourself. Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
I do want to say, okay, so first of all, I want to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Were Spike and Snake just waiting in the basement in the dark for Emma to come home?
I think for maximum, like, I'm waiting for these days as a parent. Like, and I think so. I think it's got to be for maximum effect. You got to make that little person think that they were home
but, like,
free.
How
and,
long?
Like, no,
how
bitch.
How long were they in the dark basement?
Bet you thought you seen long enough to be pissed. Like,
you know what I mean? No, like, because, like, she didn't get home till 2. What right, if they didn't, just, like, realize, like, what if they realized she wasn't home at, like, 11?
I was going to say, because she literally
3 hours standing in the dark quietly together.
She literally said, I'm not eating, you know, I don't want to eat. Good night. I'm just going to do my lines. And so, like, let's say Spike just drops down to say goodnight to her. They both come down to say
right?
goodnight
it's
to
like
her. 9:30. And they're like, well, this bitch just done flown the coop. Where is she at? And they, like, sit on the stairs for a little bit. You know, maybe leaf through her, you know, like is what's going on in her room.
It hits and midnight and then they're like, you know what, let's turn the light back off. Let's let her think.
Yeah, like let's let her think that she got away with this. Yeah. I'm sure it's like stages of the anger. Just like she was going through stages of fucking grief and like confusion in that classroom. They are going through all of the stages of anger. They're pissed.
And I do feel like, okay, so like when she comes home, she's clearly being manipulative when she's like
clearly.
Ever since the shooting, I can't. But I also feel like it's also not a lie. She may not know it's not a lie, but it is not a lie.
It's not a lie. It's just a convenient something that she can throw. Like something that it's not, it might not be what she's actively feeling at that moment, but it's not a lie. She's just like utilize. She knows what her parents are gonna, you know, what they're going to simp for. And they're always going to simp for her being outright emotional, like emotive, because she's not really an emotional person. So she's breaking down and crying in front of him. Like, they know that something's wrong with
right.
her.
Emma usually can, like, hold it together.
She can, right. She can usually.
She might, like, spaz out a little bit, but, like, she's not going to be, like, having, like, yeah, no.
Weepy. She's not going to, right, be weepy. But it's like, okay, she's crying. They're not going to punish her after right. that. Because they're like, then, she's been through a lot. She's
I, of course, right. had to make note of the fact that she was lurking in the hallway mm-hmm. when Alex was with Amy, Jay was with Alex. And then Loki sexually assaulting a classmate.
Yeah, Loki.
And I hate to say it, but Miriam and Mike have great chemistry.
They do. It's actually quite weird. They do have really great chemistry. Yeah. So what I really appreciated is that they used the word blowjob or the mm-hmm. term blowjob. I felt like it was important to use the terms that kids actually use. Kids still say blowjob. They still say going down. You know, I'm sure there's other terms that I'm, you know, not familiar with, but those are still like the tried and true terms that don't go away. Mm-hmm. And I think that like Degrassi does, sometimes they do a better job, you know, like most people don't call it pot unless you're of a certain age.
Right.
Or what do they call it? They call it something else. Like, and it's like, that's not the word kids use. Sometimes they got it. Sometimes they don't, you know?
Dude, I once convinced a cop not to search my car simply by, he asked me if I had any drugs on me and mentioned that he thought my car smelled like marijuana. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him horrified, mm-hmm. just incredulous. And I said, I don't do weed.
Oh my gosh.
And
like, and me? Do weed? Never.
No. Fucking. Also, oh, another thing that annoyed me. When Emma's like, I want to play Mina. And yeah. Liberty's like, you're unreliable. Okay,
yes,
you missed your cue. Totally fine. Mm-hmm. But she flat out told Manny she wasn't going to come
Thank
over.
You. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Because that was my note. Liberty is like this finicky bitch. However, to be on Emma's side, she never said she was coming to Manny's. And she really didn't. She said, hey, I don't want my hand and feet in the way of this.
Right. She was like, you guys don't want me there.
Right. Like, and Manny did not, like, there was no back and forth. Like, that was just right. it.
Manny was just kind of like sad.
Oh, call me if you change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll call you to see if you're changing your mind. Like,
right.
none of
and
that.
Emma
because,
wasn't like, I'll think about it. Emma was, right. that was a hard
Emma
no.
Was, Emma was like, no, you don't need my hand and feet in the way. Like, okay. So did Manny tell her that she was supposed to show up and did, like, that's
right.
Manny's fault. And
yeah,
that's Liberty's fault.
That line
fault
is weird.
Like, no.
I hate that. I hate that
You
part.
Didn't even show up to Manny's. Bitch, she said she wasn't coming.
Right. And we, of course, have to talk about, hey, best friend, Amy.
Hey, best friend, Amy. Boom.
You want a scene, JT?
Boom. Yeah, she came in with that 1-2 combination for that ass. I would not want to fuck with Alex. I already knew that. But this is like, she's
yeah,
coming
no.
in hot. She is coming in hot. I don't care who sees. Boom, boom.
She's like, Amy, you were like sucking my boyfriend's dick at the ravine and I'm going to fight you about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we didn't have sex. Whose definition of sex? My like, you know, like this is like, I really want, like, she didn't need to add that. Like, she did not need to add this. We were having sex. Bitch, who says that wasn't sex?
Right.
It's literally called oral sex.
Right. Did you not watch? Alex punched Amy right into the black hole. I mean, we'll get there when we get there, but she did. She did, because we will not see this young lady again, ever.
Amy served her purpose. She is right in the black hole with her gonorrhea and her fucking swollen mug, because there is no way she does not have a swollen, because she punched her in the mouth. Like, okay, Alex is a G.
Right. And I love, okay. We have to at least briefly mention the fact that, like, this play has put 10 years on JT.
Right. JT is, like, whipping up concoctions with eggs and shit that he shouldn't have in school. And it's like, you're going to drink all this shit. And if you don't do that, I'm literally going to prop your dead
body
up.
This is giving me angina.
I'm going to prop your dead body up on this fucking stage and you would do the show. You're going to do the show in this life, the afterlife. I don't care.
It made me think of like watching JT just like rapidly age in the course of this hour, 45 minutes, made me think of like those memes of like Obama before he took office and then like the end of his first term.
Right. That salt and pepper. That was like, no more salt and pepper. You're just gray, man. Just gray and tired.
And yes. I didn't put it in my shots fired.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved when Manny... Somebody asks, I think Liberty like asks Manny if she's nervous and she goes, is the Pope Catholic?
Yeah.
And then she goes and sits down next to Emma and goes, does Jay have gonorrhea?
Yes. Yes. Manny was going off in this episode. I love
her. Well, and I love, she's like trying to be a friend of Emma.
But she's
really
like,
trying.
You're not going to, you're
and
not
going
to just
I'm not
kiss
gonna
whomever.
Let you, like,
spread social disease.
Spread social diseases. Hey, guess what, guys? Emma's got gonorrhea.
Right, like, oh my gosh. I have, on a slightly more serious tip, one thing that stood out to me about, like, their conversation with Emma at the end is when she says, they're like, you don't have to pretend to be this for us or whatever, just be yourself. And she's like, what if I don't like myself very much right now? And I think that that's indicative of how she's treating herself. She is talking about, I don't care about Alex or anything. Really, I don't. But maybe you should care because Alex is out here giving knuckle sandwiches and rearranging faces and sending bitches to the black hole.
Her best friend to the black hole. You think she won't come for you?
She will roll that fucking sleeve up like Popeye and knock you in the next week. Like
Alex said, knock you out.
The way that she's like, I fought Alex twice. I don't care about her. Really, I don't.
Right?
Like, what?
It's like Manny's only stealing boyfriends from girls whose asses she can kick or at least like hold her own against.
I think she could hold her own against Ashley. I don't actually think that Ashley's got hands.
Think so either.
I don't think Ashley's got hands. She can safely, you know, probably kick that ass and maybe walk away with no scratches. Maybe like a little slap or two, but she's walking the right way on top. I am not ever going to bet against Alex, especially when she's pissed off with information.
Right.
Alex is just the way Amy didn't see that coming. They got knocked the fuck into the black hole.
Gone. She's like, gone.
Got knocked the fuck out, to quote our recent, to quote one of our recent memes. From our caption contest. Yeah, no. I feel like she really should care about these things. And she should, like, the fact that she doesn't like herself very much right now, it shows. It shows that she doesn't like herself very much right now. She is not treating herself like a person who really cares about.
She doesn't care about herself. She doesn't care about anybody else. Because she's feeling reckless. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I totally get that. Mm-hmm. Like, no, and no wonder she doesn't like herself right now because she sucks.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry you liked yourself last season because you sucked then too.
Yeah, you very much did suck then too. And yeah, I don't think that, like, I personally like you much more now. So I don't know. At least you got a reason to kind of be reckless and create and the worst, but this is a good episode in that, like, I feel like we're actually getting payoff of what we've been seeing in the background with Emma. Right. Now we really know what's going on with her, and she is not okay. She is very much not okay. It was Craig's turn to not be well. Now it's Emma's turn to not be well. She is not doing well.
Yeah, she's not. She's so not okay. All right. Are we ready to go to the corner?
The fashion corner, although I don't have much to
Have a lot of fashion either. In fact, I'm realizing I don't think I even went back and took my fashion screenshots. But really not a lot wowed me.
No, I think Emma's outfits are very similar to what she's been wearing. Mm-hmm. I think, like, down to, like, she even had some staples that pretty much looked like, you know, like the sweater vest sort of thing she's got on, and like the layering, the skirts, the mm-hmm. little Ked type sneakers she's got on right now.
She's very like American Eagle catalog right now.
Right. Down the bangs are not helping the situation. I mean, they're cute on her, but they're definitely lending to the American Eagle vibe you just talked about. I like Manny's couple outfits, her blue top, that little varsity top. Like, I think she's just in her, I'm going to dress like, you know.
She's very casual these days, and like yeah. it's for the most part, not that she doesn't still, but like it's where she's at her cutest. I love mm-hmm. Manny in some varsity wear. It's I effortless. It's
her vibe. It matches like what she's got going on right now, and I think it's still very like, you know, it's got sex appeal. I think it's more natural sex appeal, which is what any, you know, person should always, I think, it's like hit like your brand of sex appeal. Like, it doesn't have to be someone else's brand, whatever your brand is. I think that it's like that all American girl sort of like sporty.
Well, it's
vibe.
Like, you know, okay, so like her season 3 wardrobe, even though they're like some very like slay looks,
it's not my favorite.
Her insecurity is so clear in it. Mm-hmm. Like, she's, and it feels like a kid playing dress up.
Right. She's not like, she's trying, right. She's trying on these looks to see what hits. And like,
and now
I think
she's
you can
like,
see some like threads of what she's like dressing like this season.
Mm-hmm.
She literally face plants after her whole thing with Craig and like starts dressing in just velour only. And it's like, okay, you don't go full velour.
Right.
Okay. And then she
you
brings
could
it back.
Back then though.
You could, but I was so not. I am not a fan of head-to-toe
it's
velour.
It's so sweaty.
I either like a velour, like, hoodie and, like, the jean skirt on the bottom. That was an outfit I rocked all the time. Or I would wear my, you know, I would do the pieces separate. I can't do the pieces together. I always had the matching sets. Mm-hmm. I never wore them together. I will be honest with you. And I'm not going to say that that was my vibe, guys. That pick your own vibe. Velour is back. You will not catch me head-to-toe in velour, though. Never.
Yeah. No, thank you.
No, thank you. I also just don't want to be that hot.
Right?
Like, when is the appropriate time to wear velour? Is it when, like, is it the
like
fall
on a camping
time?
Trip or in the fall?
Camping trip, yeah. I could. Camping trip vibes, I'm done. No.
Or like a well air-conditioned hotel room?
Very well air-conditioned. I mean, like a crisp, like 68.
Or sitting on your couch alone eating a gallon of ice cream.
I have to have no socks on, though.
Anyway.
But I did like Emma's outfit. It's an iconic outfit because she said that's the outfit she's in when she says, "You gave me a social disease."
Oh, yeah. The Dracula costumes
are great. The Dracula costumes went off. And those also cost a lot of money. Any costume that I ever wore in my theater department was probably from the 70s, okay?
Yeah.
Costumes are expensive.
Oh, girl, try being the fat girl at the high school theater department.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was not. I would call myself fat, but, you know, I was always getting the stuff that no one wanted or that was massively too large, or I would just bring my shit from home because I'm not going to be disrespected. If I right. can bring my shit from home and it'll match with what's going on, then give me one piece from this doomed closet. And then I'm going to make it work. Very rarely got cute shit. But yeah. That's pretty much it. Oh, I have to point out, this is not a fashion thing, but it lives rent-free in my head with Alex's delivery of when they're the three beauties. And it's like, we hunger, we long.
Yes.
With the
no,
glasses.
No, I love how unserious Alex is.
I do too.
So we do have two black holes.
We do.
We do. As we discussed, Amy gets punched into the black hole. And Nate, Dracula, is also gone. Never to be seen again.
Mm-hmm.
So long. Farewell. I've waited to say not to you. Yeah. I feel like I have a lot of shots fired, but you and I probably have a lot of the same shots fired.
I would think so, yeah.
pew, 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 pew.
Shots fired.
Over in shots fired.
Mm-hmm.
My first is Darcy saying, I think prompting is Liberty's job.
Oh, shit. Okay, so my first one is sometime before that. Okay. My first one is Perino saying, do you want to see a graph of your participation grade? And it's like, I have Craig saying it's goulash and Ellie saying it's goodbye.
I have JT saying, listen, I'm directing and playing Van Helsing and I know my lines, which mm-hmm. I'm just going to give you this whole kind of shebang.
Yes.
And then Darcy says something about him changing the blocking everything 5 minutes. And he says, how about I change the casting instead? And she says, are you firing me? And he says, not if you resign first. And she says, fine. Then I curse you. I curse this play. Macbeth.
Yeah. That exchange is lovely. I have Amy saying, they could let me play Mina, me, the beautiful virgin. And Alex saying, now that's acting.
I have Craig telling Ashley, well, then you didn't think at all.
Damn.
And JT's half-hearted yay when he introduces Emma.
I have that whole, so after Emma can't kiss Van Helsing mm-hmm. or whatever, the poor girl suffers from penisophobia. Her mom can't even buy bananas. One time, they gave her a hot dog. She threw up for a week.
Well, before that, there's, for the sake of guys everywhere, I hope she becomes a nun. One of them big ones that sing all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the round out of Simpson has to keep his jockey shorts and his shed out back. Otherwise, she won't go into the house.
Mm-hmm. I have Craig saying, yeah, your dad can come tuck you in instead of Nurse Paula.
I have... when Amy's like, is that one of my bracelets? And Emma's like, no, it's mine. No,
right.
And then subsequently, actually, because I think you're like ahead of me, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when she tells Jay that the bracelets are like Amy kryptonite.
Yeah.
And he says, this isn't some brownie badge competition. And maybe you're the one who needs to shut up. You didn't earn anything. Amy did.
Ew. Ew, Jay. Ew. I have JT saying, am I ever going to get three of them?
I have Craig telling Ellie about the guitar strings, get Ash too. She's good at forcing things.
I have Alex saying, don't look at me, don't talk to me, or I'll deck your smug face too.
I have Emma saying to Jay in the library, are you going to be in the ravine again tonight? Are we going to party? I think I need another bracelet.
Oh, yeah. their dynamic is so, so very weird. Yeah, I am ahead of you quite significantly.
Yeah.
I have Manny saying, no, what you're doing is stupid. You're letting a disgusting bottom feeder use you to serial cheat on his girlfriend. And that whole exchange, I wrote some of it down, but just Emma saying, should you really be preaching to someone about that? We're not having real sex. And I don't remember what Manny said in response. But she says in response, I am not getting pregnant. But I'm not getting pregnant.
And Manny says, I'd rather be that than diseased.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, she got a pointer.
I have Marco saying, special delivery from the So Your Dad a Sucks a Pizzeria.
Yes. Jimmy saying, I need to see something besides you two and these ugly ass walls.
Nate saying, there isn't enough antibiotic in the world that would make me kiss you.
Yes. Jay saying, Emma saying, well, I have 30 guys or whatever that would kill to hook up with me. And Jay says, well, right now I'm not one of them.
My last one is Emma saying, you gave me a social disease.
Emma. You did. It's fine. You'll get over it. And like, you're already over it, actually.
Do you have any more?
I do not.
Okay. Shining stars.
Manny.
Ashley, Ellie, yes. Jimmy, Craig, Marco.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Moore for the second B
plot.
Craig
Moore for the second B plot.
But he's not a bummer in the first B plot.
No, he's not a bummer. I understand him. I understand where he's coming from more. Yes. I kind of
can't give it to Spike and Snake for being good parents in the last 30 seconds of the episode.
That's the bare. That's what she should be doing, is right. Being vigilant of your fucking responsibility, aka your child,
right,
and making sure that she's not sneaking to suck dick in the ravine,
right.
Jeez, bare minimum parenting.
Bare minimum.
You guys just saved yourself. You do not get a gold star for doing the bare minimum. You get do better next week.
Right.
Sooner. Yeah. That's about, yeah.
Okay. Super bummers. Emma. Jay. Amy.
Alex.
Mr. Brooks. Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm not going to make Alex a shining star, but I can't give her super bummer. Her boyfriend cheated on her.
Okay, so her boyfriend cheated on her.
With her best friend.
With her best friend, who she just knocked into the black hole. So I guess she's neutral.
She's bullying Emma, but like, I get it.
She's kind of doing the work that her parents... No, I'm joking. She is not right, but she is not wrong.
Darcy. I know she's barely in it, but she is a character.
Darcy annoyed the fuck out of me.
Early Darcy is so annoying. The hair doesn't help.
No. The way that she said poo doesn't help either.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah, we put everybody but Mr. Perino on that bitch. No.
Rain.
I'm good.
Does it go there?
Does it go there?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got social diseases.
We've got
infidelity. Like, infidelity. We've got
kids doing very bad things in the ravine, which probably should have more police presence. Like,
right?
Why don't the police know about a fucking
abandoned van?
An abandoned van and a sex den, a teenage sex den that is literally 500 feet from a school.
Right.
It is not hard to find the ravine to the point where they cleaned up the ravine as a thing during lunch.
But they couldn't get the van out?
But they could not get the van. The van was just too big for them to take on. So you're telling me that they are having crazy teenage wasteland vibes, rave parties with a sex van close enough that they're able to clean up this area at lunchtime. In a community school. And nobody's monitoring this. The school doesn't ever call the police. The police don't know it exists. It's just there's a bonfire for
Christ's
sake.
Well, okay, you do have to figure that, I don't know, maybe it's a big ravine.
It better be a big ravine,
it's probably
Caroline.
Further from the school.
It better be a big, but how far could it possibly be?
Well, I mean, couldn't it be long? Even if it's not that wide, couldn't it be long?
It could be long, but it's also supposed to be a city. How many? It could only be maybe a quarter mile, half a mile. Like, it's not, if that. I doubt there's that much open land in the middle of Degrassi Street, as it's supposed to be a metropolitan area.
Yeah.
I mean, living in the small scale city that I live in, I wouldn't say that it's
Oh, well, that's depth. Never mind, because a gully can be classified as a ravine after it reaches a large depth, typically in excess of 5 meters.
I don't know nothing about that. All I know is it's most likely that there's not as much space.
Yeah, no, who knows?
Yeah, and especially sending smoke signals and shit. There are multiple fires going on down there. Multiple fires. You telling me they're putting those fires out successfully Like, you've got to smother the shit out of a fire to make sure there are no remaining embers. I don't know. I got a lot of tingly.
Yeah, no, like, it's a little questionable.
It's a little questionable, just a tad. I feel like Mr. Radich's, like, busy ass would at least have been on, like,
right.
Would have been, like, nipping that at, like, kids are having fun. Nope. Yeah.
Shows up with giant lapels.
Right.
He's like, everybody's got Saturday detention.
Oh my gosh. It's right. Yeah, but I mean, aside from that, of course it goes there.
It goes there.
I mean,
there.
Well, in addition to that, I suppose it goes there. Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Join us next week for Jimmy's triumphant return to Degrassi in Eye of the Tiger. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by Goulash, the Public Health Clinic, and support from listeners like you.
Boom.
Hopefully next week I don't sound. I think we did a good job.
I think we did a good job too.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Tay.
Evie Pacini.
Miranda Bickers.
And Octavia Faith.
And a special thanks to our Titty Snake producers.
Alika Fenderson.
Corey Newton.
Tawny Marie.
And Brandy Tucker.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.